This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And Nick has been maybe the most disappointing part of this entire Bears season to this point, because we were sold that he was going to be the safety net if they got a little wobbly on the tightrope and started to fall. And instead, he's been like one of those WWE cage mats that's littered with broken glass and needles and, you know, nails and whatever else you want to put down there. He hasn't broken their fall. You've fallen onto that. You've gotten more cut up and more bruised and more screwed up.
So that was Dan Wiederer yesterday on the outstanding Waddle and Sylvie show. And they had a lengthy chat with Dan. We're going to have a lengthy chat with Dan, and he joins us now. Hey, pal, what's going on?
Like my morning cup of coffee, my stimulant, my jolt of energy in the morning. So let's chat.
Okay, so I just played that cut from you, and you had the audacity to say, boy, the most disappointing thing is Nick Foles isn't what we all were sold a bill of goods about. I remember before they traded for him and the day Danny broke in with the sounder, breaking news, Bears have acquired Nick Foles, screaming from the mountaintops, Mitch may not be the answer, but that guy sucks. He is a backup quarterback who's immobile and isn't what you all are writing and opining about. So why are we so surprised? He's horse bleep.
I don't know that anyone is shocked, but I think it has been a very disappointing development. I think everyone that looked at this with a critical eye thought he would be better than he has been through the first seven games.
Well, I guess I didn't have a critical eye then, because I knew this was not going to end well.
Yeah, well, Cap, you've been wrong about other things.
No question.
Critical eye as well. So I'm just telling you that no one expected this level of struggle, this level of pronounced discomfort, this level of inaccuracy. I'll tell you, for me personally, watching Nick Foles turn the ball over as often as he has through the, you know, seven starts and one relief appearance that he's had has been absolutely disappointing and surprising to some extent. He was supposed to be the guy that understood how to play complementary football with a defense that's as good as the one the Bears have. And now we're in this familiar position that Chicago's been in so many times. And the word that I've been attaching to it for the last 10 days or so is stuck. They're stuck. They're a 500 team with most of their biggest questions inside the building unanswered, and no one really sure what the future looks like beyond the next 6 weeks.
Okay, so if it was up to you, no one else, Dan's making the call. Your phone rings and it's Matt Nagy. Hey, Dan, hey, I want you to make the call. I'm at my wit's end. Who should I start Sunday? What are you doing?
I mean, so are we assuming both guys are at full health, first of all?
Yeah, he says to you, I have all three guys in that room, and all three tell me they're healthy enough to play.
You know, I mean, I probably am turning back to Mitch at this point, because the last 7 weeks have been a bit of a mess, and so you need to try to light a spark if you're going to save these last five games or six games of the season and try to get from 5-5 and stay firmly in the playoff picture. And so perhaps that's the way they go this Sunday. I think that there's a feeling inside the building that might be the lean. And, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. I would just warn you that even if they go back to Mitch, I wouldn't necessarily expect that to be some sort of springboard back to national relevance and the prominence that we all think that the Bears should be able to attain at some point.
So, I am not naive to how bad Mitch was at times, but I would never, ever have gone to Nick Foles, ever. He would have been my backup quarterback if my guy got hurt. I got a bad offensive line. I don't have a ton of playmakers. And I have a head coach who's established a great culture, but might be the most stubborn coach I've watched in Chicago in any sport in a long, long time. Let's see. I got a bad O-line. I got a quarterback who's got an accuracy problem. I probably need to run the football here and try and minimize risk. Nope. Come hell or high water, we're running my scheme. Well, I don't have Tyreek Hill. I don't have Kareem Hunt. I don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't have Andy Reid. I don't have Travis Kelce. I can keep going. So why is Matt so freaking stubborn that it's going to cost him his job?
I don't know. And I don't know why they've been unable to unlock anything for the better part of a season and a half, and really dating back to November of 2018, if we're being honest about it. And they just have found ways to get worse when they shouldn't be getting worse. You've got these situations here where you have playmakers. Look, I've said this for weeks. If you want to tell me that the Bears don't have the offensive playmakers to be a top 10 offense in this league, I'll happily agree with you. If you want to tell me that the Bears don't have enough weaponry to be a top 27 offense in the NFL, I'll tell you, you're nuts. They've got playmakers in the backfield. They've got playmakers in the receiving core. They traded, they signed Jimmy Graham in free agency, used their top draft pick on Cole Kmet. There's enough weaponry here to be what the Bears needed this offense to be in 2020, which is an offense that could be average or slightly below and play complementary football with a really, really good defense and stay in the playoff hunt. And they've fallen well short of that, and that falls on Matt. It absolutely falls on Matt's doorstep, and he's going to have to figure out how to answer for that either in these next 6 weeks or when the season ends and the people above him come and say, Matt, how would you self-evaluate yourself? He's going to have to be very honest with what he has done to both put this offense in this predicament and get it out of it.
So as I'm talking to you, some news dropped. Tom Pelissero says Jaguars announced Mike Glennon will start at quarterback Sunday against the Browns. That's got to be the bet of the week, right? I don't care what the Browns are laying. $1 million, $2 million, doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the Jaguars are a mess, right? They're one of the two teams in the NFL that have a longer losing streak than the Chicago Bears. And so, who knows what that game will look like on Sunday, but certainly from what we experienced in those four games in 2017, the Mike Glennon experience can be rather bumpy. And oh, by the way, his last start with the Bears was on a primetime stage in Green Bay. And just to circle it back to what the Bears are facing this week, that has not been a feel-good experience. I'm writing a piece for later this week for ChicagoTribune.com about how often these primetime games against the Packers are these major gut punches and these major sort of illuminations of everything that's wrong with the Bears. And that 2017 game in which the Bears decided, hey, we better turn to Mitch Trubisky a lot earlier than we had planned, was another indication of just how badly it can go up there at Lambeau Field and how bad it can go against the Packers in primetime.
We're talking to Dan Weider here on ESPN 1000. He's one of our great Bears insiders, and of course you read him just about every day in the Chicago Tribune as he covers the Bears beat. Adam Shaheen got, and again, in NFL terms, it's not big money. To all of us, it is. But he got a $9 million extension with $3 million guaranteed. And I'm listening to Armando Salguero do an interview on NFL Network where they said, wow, you guys got Adam Shaheen away from the Bears where he was a flop, and now you're guaranteeing him money. And his response was, you asked Brian Flores, he said, I love that kid. Works hard. He's going to be a big part of our future. How in the hell can we have the worst tight end room in the league and we give that guy away for a conditional draft pick, and he's four games into the season in Miami, and they're throwing millions at him?
I've been waiting to talk to you about this because you need to spend your energy elsewhere, Cap. Adam Shaheen has 6 catches for 77 yards this year. I don't care what Miami's given him contractually. There's been nothing in his history in 4 seasons in the league that tell you he's going to be some sort of every week difference-making playmaker at tight end. 6 catches, 77 yards this season. Between him and Hronis Gressu, you've wasted a lot of energy and breath on a point that I think you're well-intentioned in making, but you're picking the wrong guys to make it with. The Bears letting Adam Shaheen go after he was unable to stay healthy and was unproductive when he was healthy is not something you should spend a minute of time thinking about.
No, but Dan, it goes back to the larger point. It goes back to...
But pick someone else. Pick someone else to make the larger point with. There's 100 other options that are better than a guy who has 6 catches and 77 yards and got some sort of contract extension from a team that hasn't exactly proven itself as a sustained model of success in the NFL over the last 20 years.
Right, but my whole point is, let's see, we have a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky who we should be under center, not in the gun. We should have a fullback. I didn't come here to run the I formation. We should make sure we run the football. We should get him on the edge. We should do all sorts of these different things. Nope. Screw that. We're going to run our scheme, our Kansas City playbook, and you got to get to level 202 or whatever the hell that quote was. And it's just everything that I watch. Like, other than the culture, why should I, if I'm the owner, believe things are going to get any better?
I don't think you should. I don't think you should. I don't think you have evidence to believe that at this point. And you know me. I'm always a based on what guy. I ask you all the time, based on what? Based on what? And we had these conversations in August where I told you culture only counts for so much. You remember it, right? I gave you my Michael's discount card to go buy those culture ribbons and have them lined up for the 500 team that stuck together and fought to the very end. And, you know, gosh darn it, they got a lot of gumption and heart to stick in with these good NFL teams till the very last minute of the game. I'm telling you, with the Adam Shaheen argument, pick some other guys. Find out why they're underutilizing Cole Kmet. Talk about why Anthony Miller hasn't developed into a guy that they traded up in the second round to turn into a every week difference maker, right? That's why you trade up in the second round for that position, to turn a guy into an every week difference maker. Talk about why Allen Robinson only has 7 red zone targets this season, while Devontae Adams has 7 red zone touchdowns this season, right? These are more bullseye conversations than worrying about. I mean, we're talking about how disappointing Cole Kmet's rookie production has been at the tight end position. He's got more catches and more yards than Adam Shaheen. So just stop with that and focus in on some of these other issues that are more relevant to why this offense is so broken, so bottom tier, and seemingly lost. By the way, they're going to go up to Green Bay, and if Mitch starts on Sunday, Cap, it's going to be a quarterback paired up with a play caller he's never worked with before, playing behind a center he's never worked with before, potentially, and with changes on the offensive line in front of him. Who knows? This could be a colossal disaster Sunday night, again, under a national primetime spotlight. And we could be back here at this time next week talking about a 5-6 team that has to figure out a way to pull the ripcord on the parachute.
Before I let you, in fact, can you hold so I take a quick break?
You bet.
All right. We'll come right back to Dan Wiederer because I want to unearth a few more things that's going on with this Bears franchise. We'll get right back to him and your calls next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome back, Cap Jay Hood Show, ESPN 1000. Hoodie has a day off. Enjoy the day, my man. Danny and Jeff are off as well. Tyler and JR are still here with me. And our friend Dan Wiederer is on the phones. All right, Dan, I want to go back to a game last year when Mitchell Trubisky was the quarterback of the Chicago Bears against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, boy.
And he was 23 of 31 for 244, 3 touchdowns, a pick, and a rating of 115.5, and the Bears win. And Dak Prescott was no slouch in that game. He threw for 334. They held Ezekiel to 81 yards. It was a competitive game, but I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, they had Mitch out on the edge. They had Mitch rolling. They had Mitch doing all these different things. Do you feel like Matt Nagy went to bed that night going, I know we won, but I feel dirty. I don't like playing like that. That's how I feel like he doesn't want to do what it would take to tailor his offense until he gets the right quarterback here.
Listen, that game provided a matchup that was favorable for the Bears and for Mitch Trubisky, just like sometimes the Lions provide certain things defensively that are favorable to what Mitch does well. Sometimes you don't always get to pick the defensive scheme you're playing against. And that night, the Bears had recognized something in the way that the Cowboys rushed the passer that allowed them to use Mitch as a runner more frequently. But a lot of the defenses they play don't play those coverages and that scheme and allow for those things to open up as well as those did that night in primetime. And so there's a bit of a weekly puzzle that you need to put together as an offense. To be a highly successful quarterback in this league, which is what you hope a guy drafted number 2 overall will eventually become, you have to learn how to process what you're seeing coverage-wise, defensively, and be comfortable within the pocket. Mitch hasn't been able to do that on a consistent basis through 3-plus seasons. And so that's been his downfall there. There has obviously been some disconnect with the head coach and how he has attempted to utilize Trubisky in a way that hasn't necessarily accentuated his strengths to a high level. But I don't think you can simply just take a one-game sample size and be like, that's exactly how it's supposed to go every time you play a football game. And if they just decided to do those things, it would turn out the exact same way every time. It's just not that simple. And so they have to answer for that, and they have to figure out a way to find answers for these next six games, Kat. Because, look, we talked about it yesterday. They play the Packers twice, and sandwiched in between are those four games, right, against losing opponents that have right now a combined record of 12-28. And so you have this opportunity here. If you can convince yourself inside the building that you can find anything to basically just energize this offense enough to score 23 points, right, to score a touchdown in the first half. That's the number that I come back to this week as we update all these ugly statistics. The Bears are 19-4 in the Matt Nagy era when the offense has scored a touchdown before halftime. That's insane. That means, one, that there's been 20 games out of 43 where they haven't reached the end zone offensively in the first half. And it means that when you do, your defense is so good that a vast majority of the time you're walking out of that stadium with a win at the end of the night. And so the defense isn't asking for much. Matt has to find something just to get this offense to 22, 23, 24 points. And all of a sudden we might be having conversations in December that at least keep us marching toward Christmas with the Bears legitimately in that playoff hunt.
By the way, that game against Dallas, David Montgomery, 20 carries, an average 4.3 yards per carry. Mitch, another 10 carries for 63 yards. So they were, at some point, Matt was more committed to running the football. It seems like this year it was, Mitch has got to get to level 202 and know the offense better than me. And we just don't run the football. I said this earlier, Dan, if I was George McCaskey, I would wake up, I would look in the mirror and go, okay, why am I not being successful here as the CEO? I hired Phil Emery, terrible. We hired Mark Trestman, terrible. We hired Ryan, and as good a culture as he's developed, he's got an awful first-round draft record. Awful. I want to know how they looked in the mirror, he and Matt, when draft night ended and went, yeah, I feel good about our offensive line. Because I've been screaming like everyone else, are you guys not going to address the offensive line at all? I just don't understand the decision-making.
Cap, I mean, you remember the day after last season ended, or a couple days after last season ended, and one of the first moves they made was to launch Harry Hiestand, and that there was this internal belief that bringing in a different teaching style and a different coach and a different voice in the offensive line room would fix all that ailed them. And that was obviously a major miscalculation. And they've obviously been hit by injuries. The James Daniels injury was sort of that block in the Jenga tower that sent everything wobbling here this year. But no, they haven't done enough to stabilize that offensive line. And it's not that they haven't invested in it, because you've used second round picks on Whitehair and Daniels. You've paid money to Bobby Massey and Charles Leno. It's not like they've been going on the cheap at the tackle position by any means.
They kind of have, though. They kind of have. Charles Leno was a seventh-round pick of Phil Emery. Bobby Massey, I have the quote in my office. Bruce Arians going, we wish Bobby well. We have to be better at that spot. Oh, we're Chicago. Sign me up. Pete Carroll, Jermaine Effetti, we have to be better at that guard spot. Hey, we're Chicago. He's cheap. Sign me up. So they haven't really put their money where their mouth is.
Bobby Massey signed a 4-year, $31 million contract, right, in the extension. So it's not a money issue. It's an evaluation issue. It's a miscalculation on how sturdy those guys are going to be. And so I don't want to get lost in this idea that they never do anything to address the offensive line. They do things to address the offensive line. Sometimes it's just the wrong things. And that's the problem top to bottom in this organization, is that some of the corrections that they make don't correct anything and sometimes make the problem worse. And I think when you really stop and zoom out, and it's all of the time and energy and draft capital and free agent money that you spend correcting previous mistakes that really brings you down, right? And really prevents you from creating momentum and sustaining it when you have it. And those are issues that they've got to get figured out. This other argument that sort of drives me crazy is that they haven't drafted enough quarterbacks. And I would just encourage people to go look at other teams and how often they draft quarterbacks and compare it to what the Bears have done. Now, if you want to make the argument that, sure, maybe I think it was, what year did they give Cutler the extension? 14?
20, I think the end of 13.
Would you have been better off taking Jimmy Garoppolo than Ego Ferguson and trying to figure out if you had somebody there? Yeah, probably. Would you have been better off drafting Russell Wilson instead of Alshon Jeffrey? Obviously, in retrospect, the answer is yes. But this idea that you should just swing wildly at quarterbacks every year, it just doesn't pan out. You look at the New York Jets, they've drafted a lot of quarterbacks since 2004. They all stink, right? And so they're a winless team headed down the sewer and going to the depths that this league rarely sees. The Browns, they draft quarterbacks all the time. Were they happy with Brandon Whedon and Johnny Manziel and Cody Kessler and Deshaun Kizer? I mean, drafting quarterbacks doesn't solve it. You know what the Chiefs have done? They haven't drafted a lot of quarterbacks like the Bears. But when they had their big swing at it in 2017, they got the right one. They got an MVP. They got a Super Bowl winner. They got a guy that's probably going to end up in Canton when his career's over.
Yep.
And so they're not having these conversations like we're having in Chicago. They're talking about, boy, what pieces do we need to put in place to win a second consecutive Super Bowl? And so it's not all about taking these wild swings. It's about when you have the one big opportunity, you better get it right. And if you don't, as we've talked about 1,000 times, it sets you back a decade or longer.
All right, before I let you go, you told Waddle and Sylvie that you felt like 42% was the percentage yesterday that there would be major change, coaching, front office. Like, if I'm George McCaskey, I'm waking up going, all right, guys, I was just listening to Dan Weider on the radio, and he said, boy, if we could just score 21 points, if we could just be the 21st ranked offense, that's not satisfactory anymore. So guess what? Here's the money I owe you. Here's the money I owe you. I am starting over, and I'm hiring a football czar, proven. Like the Bears, when they went and stole Jim Finks from the Vikings and made him the president, Jim Finks in, he's the one that put Vinici there. They go get offensive linemen, defensive linemen. They build it the right way. Do you think George has that in him?
I know George has a competitive streak in him, and I know that he, you know, admittedly says that he sees this like a fan a lot of times. And so sometimes he has to balance his impulses, the fan impulses that you obviously bring to the airwaves every day versus the practical business and long-term approach instincts that you need to have in that position. You know, I pressed George both last January and again in August about what he needs to see from this current regime to believe that this thing is headed in the right direction. Last January, he said he was very curious to see how a lot of the troubleshooting steps would go between Ryan and Matt, to see what they did to put the pieces of the offense back together and upgrade this offense from what it was in a terribly disappointing 2019. And in August, he said, look, we're trying to figure out whether this is the 2018 Bears or the 2019 Bears. One went 12-4, won a division, and walked into January as a Super Bowl contender. The other one had one of the most disappointing seasons in franchise history, right? And so if you're looking at it through those lenses, you say they haven't made improvements on the offense. It's arguably worse than it was a year ago, and that they are way more the 2019 Bears at this point than they are the 2018 Bears. And so if you're holding yourself to the standards you yourself vocalized, you have to spend a lot of December evaluating this team through that lens and having various serious conversations with people you trust inside the building and out to figure out which direction you want to take this night.
Yeah, I don't want a short fix. I don't want to hear, yeah, we'll address the offensive line in the offseason. Oh, now next year the defense got a little older. Now we got to Nope. Sorry.
Yeah,
you guys have had your chance. I'm tearing it up.
For me, it's as simple as something that I talked with Waddle and Sylvie about yesterday. It's you take the three most important positions in the building, general manager, head coach, and quarterback, and you say, given what we currently have in place there, who is feeling super excited about any of those folks leading us forward into 2021 as we sit here on the last week of November of 2020? And I don't know that you're going to have a whole lot of people that are in line on the Ryan Pace train, that are in line on the Matt Nagy train, that are in line on the Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles train. And so if you're staring down that lens, you're saying, whoa, boy, we have to have some really, really serious conversations and have to figure out what to do. As you know, this organization has started over many, many, many times, and it's a painful, painful process to start. It's a painful, painful process to go through. And so it's never easy to make that decision, but it might be one that they're confronted with, you know, as we watch waltz into 2021 in a month.
All right, your favorite thing you're going to eat at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I'm a stuffing guy, no question about it. I kind of go for 3 helpings of that and 2.5 of everything else. I also am a day after leftover guy with a turkey sandwich with the stuffing and the cranberry on it. That's a great day after meal for me.
Yeah, see, I'm a hard pass on all those Thanksgiving types, all of them. Don't like
the first time we've ever disagreed on anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like turkey. Think it's chewy and dry. Give me a steak tomorrow, some shrimp cocktail before that, a couple of good cocktails. I do like mashed potatoes with corn and a little gravy. That's the only Thanksgiving tradition part I like. And then some pie. Hard pass on stuffing and cranberry, all that. No thanks.
I'll tell you this. I've been eating Thanksgiving meals in press boxes and for the last 6 years. And so my son earlier this week was surprised and ecstatic that I was actually going to be around to enjoy Thanksgiving feast with him this week. So I'm looking forward to that as much as any of the food. Is just actually being home and hanging out with my family a little bit.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. Always love debating football with you. And it was a great hit with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
You bet, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
See you, pal. There he is, Dan Weider, Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. All right, who is going to be the starting quarterback? One Bears insider says he believes he knows who's starting. I'll tell you that coming up next. It's time for some Straight Talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot and 100 gigs of cloud storage and more, all on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straight talk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
Captain J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
We'll get to the quarterback discussion in a second. So, Dallas is playing at Minnesota the other day. Mike McCarthy is really good with motivational techniques. And so, here's Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, on what Mike McCarthy did to get his Cowboys players buying in before they kicked off against Minny.
Well, Red, if the Cowboys go on a run here, we might look back on this win over the Vikings as the sledgehammer game. Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon. Look what it translates to in the game yesterday. They played inspired. They played physical. Donovan Wilson, the safety, comes up with two of the biggest plays in that game. A strip sack on Kirk Cousins where he probably got away with helmet-to-helmet contact. And then that monster hit on Dalvin Cook that jarred the ball loose and was recovered by none other than DeMarcus Lawrence. Just like that, Cowboys back in the NFC East race and maybe, Rhett, finding their personality here.
So I heard that story, thought it was awesome. Awesome. And it reminded me of when I was coaching at Northern Illinois. We weren't very good. We were 3-5, and we were playing number 17 Miami of Ohio, who had Ron Harper and Ron Hunter and Eddie Schilling and Eric Newsom, all these really good players, but obviously Harper was the star. They're coming in to play us, and we are like a double-digit underdog. And nobody thinks we've got any shot. And the guy that I worked for, who I always call my second father, John McDougal, he doesn't curse at all. Never. And he's just very cerebral and coaches his team. He never goes off. He'll get a little annoyed, but you know, nothing like you would expect. And we're on the court at practice. We're not 15 minutes into practice, the day before the game. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this kindly, God-fearing church-going man, kicks the basketball into the stands, drops like five F-bombs, and cancels. Get the F out of here. We're done. Coaches, let's go. And the players are like, what? Huh? We're putting in the game plan for tomorrow. And the three assistants and the head coach, we walk and we get behind the stands. And I've never seen anything like this. And he looks at me and he goes, we win by double digits tomorrow. Excuse me? I thought you were mad. Nope. But that is a stunt you can only use once in a season. You can't do it all the time. You can't throw them out of practice and think it's going to work. And so that night, he has me go make sure our guys are back in the dorms. They're not in the bars. And the game was on a Wednesday night. So this is a Tuesday night the day before. So I go over to the Holiday Inn in DeKalb on, what street is that? On Lincoln Highway, I think. I go in there and the girl I'm dating at the time is a cocktail waitress there. And I look, Miami of Ohio is staying in that hotel. And I look, and in this dark club-like bar, I see Ron Harper and Ron Hunter with a beer in front of them in the bar. So I call my girlfriend over. I'm like, Jamie, okay, here's whatever I gave her, 20, 30 bucks. I go, feed them drinks, send them shots, get them, tell them it's from a big fan. And I stand over, they don't know who I am. I'm just a lowly assistant. And I watch those guys down a couple shots. They're drinking a few beers. And she calls me later. She goes, those guys staggered out. They're hammered. Hammered. And the next day, we beat their ass by double digits. I'll never forget it. Thinking, how did Coach McDougal know that our crappy 3-5 team was going to beat the undefeated number 17 team in the country by throwing everyone out of practice? And then we went right back to being a really up-and-down crappy team. But on that given night, anybody can beat anybody, and we beat their ass. I'll never forget it. Thinking, just throw them out of practice every week. Doesn't work that way.
So did Ron Harper and Ron Hunter, when they saw you the next day at the game, did they kind of be like, oh,
no,
something's
they,
up?
Because I don't think they even realized what had happened. Their head coach ends up getting, I think, two T's and kicked out. And, you know, here Miami of Ohio was really freaking good. Went to the tournament. They were really good. And on that given day, we just played really well. Our guys were fired up. They were into it. And so when Harper came to the Bulls, I walked up to him, introduced myself, and I said, do you remember going to play at DeKalb against Kenny Battle and the Huskies? He's like, yeah, I remember that game. Got our head kicked in. We were horrible, blah, blah, blah. It was one of the worst upsets of my career. I said, were you drinking the night before? He looks at me like, how would you know that? I said, because I was the guy that bought all your drinks. What? He said that he and Harper were out till the bar closed at whatever time, snuck back in their room, and he said we were just off the entire next day, hungover. They thought they were going to beat us by a billion, and it didn't work out that way.
So what are we doing with Aaron Rodgers this weekend?
Well, I would love to ask Yerk in crosstalk because I've had Bears players tell me that when the Bears were really good, they would be in the hotel up in Green Bay or Ashwaubenon or that area there, Appleton, and Packer fans would drive around the hotel honking their horns in the middle of the night trying to mess with the Bears' sleep. They would call guys. I don't think
fire alarms.
Fire alarm. I don't think that stuff goes on anymore. I really don't. Those were the good old days. But anytime I hear of a coach doing a prank or doing a stunt, I think back to that game, Northern Illinois hosting Miami of Ohio. I'll never forget it. Throwing the team out of practice and getting behind the bleachers going, we win by double digits tomorrow. What? And he was right on the money. He knew his team. 312-332-3776. We're going back to your calls. Who's starting at quarterback Sunday? I'll tell you what one NFL insider believes is going to happen. But what do you think should happen next?
Where has your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much. You don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? That legendary hot steam towel for your face. Massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. You remember that, right? Sport Clips found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy. Open enrollment is here, folks. Through GetCoveredIllinois.gov, you'll find all the affordable health insurance and essential health benefits information you need to give you and your family what we like to call peace of mind.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hoodies off today. We are back together on Monday to review what we hope is an upset of the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Hoodie, enjoy your day, kid. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. 312-332-3776. So who do you start at quarterback if you were making the call? Joe's in Crystal Lake. He's first. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Appreciate you.
For me personally, I'm going to want to see Mitch get the start. Mm-hmm. You know, I over at my fire station, the guys and I, we talk about from what we have access to, he just seems like, you know, a stand-up guy, puts in the effort. You know, I hear it from your show that he does whatever he can to make himself the quarterback that, you know, he can be. He's putting it in. Now, does that always translate to victories or success? Not so much. But I'd like to see, optimistically, him come in these last six games, put the Bears in competition or keep him in the hunt for the playoffs. Set himself up maybe for a decent contract. I heard you guys mention before about that Cowboys game. There is flashes. He's had some success, but, you know, it doesn't always translate when you have Nagy not using him to his ability. I also heard you mention Mike Glennon. Hey, you got a rookie, inexperienced quarterback, and that's who Ryan Pace gets you to mentor, not an Alex Smith or something like that. So we wish him the best. I hope he can get the start and have some success. Just hear what you're thinking.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks for your service. Stay safe, okay?
Will do, Cap. Appreciate it. Have a good Thanksgiving, all right?
You too, buddy. Enjoy. Look, bringing in Mike Glennon was just an awful evaluation. Awful. If you said, okay, we took a flyer on that guy for $2 million, whatever. $18 million to get that guy? Like, I know you're shopping for a new quarterback room. That was obvious. You're changing the whole thing. That guy? $18 million. We may end up having Mitch against Glennon when we play Jacksonville. That's what we may be seeing. And then I was talking to my brother about this. Like, it still boggles the mind that not one of us on the radio, not one of you in the car or at your kitchen table or at your office or on your computer, wherever you're at, none of us were in charge of picking the quarterback. None of us. And the guy that got paid along with his staff to evaluate all the quarterbacks looked at Deshaun Watson, looked at Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky, and went, I'm signing up for that guy. Again, that's not our job. I love that he had the conviction. I've said this a million times. He saw the guy, he went, I got to have. God bless you. I love having a GM that has no regrets and is going to get his guy. You better be right. And you weren't. So you've had your chances. Appreciate the effort. It just hasn't worked for whatever reason. Your evaluation was off. But how do you look at Patrick Mahomes? His dad was a professional baseball player. He's grown up in an athletic family. By all accounts, he's an awesome human being. Like, there was no red flags, except he came from a college where everyone went, the system's gimmicky, I don't know. How do you not watch him, watch Mitch, and watch Deshaun Watson and go, I'm taking option three. That's what I... You're paid millions of dollars to get that pick right. How can you be so off? So off. That's the one that it still boggles my mind. Derek's on the south side. D-Man, what's up?
Hey, man. Good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all your families. Thank you for allowing
you
me to have a few minutes, man. Here's the problem, and I think you all have been hitting it right on the head all this morning. Ryan Pace, man, is not a good talent evaluator. I was telling the guy who took my call, man, they need to bring back Dwayne Joseph, man, who the Bears didn't want to let go to go to Philly, but end up winning a Super Bowl with them. Mike Mayock recruits him to go to the Raiders, and now the Raiders are building something great, man. But here's a guy who started off as a player, regional scouts with Miami, came back to the Bears as player development or something. But I just think that the Bears need to get a good talent evaluator, man. So that's my two cents, man. And on top of that, I don't care who starts Sunday. The Bears are a mess on offense.
They are a mess on offense. I completely agree. Hey, man, have a great holiday, okay?
Likewise.
Thank you. Yeah, they are a mess on offense. And Ryan's made some really astute picks defensively. He's made some really astute picks in the fourth round, the fifth round. Great. But, man, you've had four number one picks. Number seven, you took Kevin White, bust. You took Mitch Trubisky, didn't work out. Much as you wanted it to, we all wanted to see him be good, he's not. Roquan will be an outstanding pick. And you traded up to number nine to get Leonard Floyd. And I know he's having a little success in L.A. I went back and watched the All-22. Like, he had a three-sack game last week. Two of those sacks, he was unblocked. Literally, J.R. could have run in there. J.R. Strauss could have run in there, at least made an attempt to tackle. You might not have got the guy down, but you could have got to the quarterback. I mean, Leonard Floyd is what Leonard Floyd is. So, let's grab John real quick out on I-94. Hey, John.
Hey, Cap. I was thinking about things I'm thankful for.
Uh-huh.
And 3 years ago, you were encouraging people to get colonoscopies.
Yep.
And I got one, and I needed it. And I pushed other people I knew who were overdue. And one of them, you saved her life, buddy, because she turned out to have colon cancer. Because you pushed me, and I pushed her. They caught it early, and it saved her life.
God bless you. That was, you know, all out of respect and love for someone who I consider family. That's Eddie Olczyk, who battled colon cancer with dignity and fight and came out on the other side. And I got to go get another one. I already had one, and I was supposed to get one in the spring, and the pandemic shut all that down. So I am going this winter to get another one because I had polyps the first time. So if anyone out there is listening, and I appreciate your call, and I hope you have a phenomenal Thanksgiving, John. When it's your turn to get one, age 45 to 50, folks, it's an easy, easy test. I'm that guy who hates going to doctors, and my brother and sister-in-law are doctors. My daughter-in-law is a doctor. My nephew's a doctor. I hate going to the doctors. You got to get the test. It's so easy. You're out. It's done in 30 minutes. You go home, and you're good. Back at work the next day. Please, I beg you, get a colonoscopy. 312-332-3776. Jed Hoyer, president of the Chicago Cubs, in 2 minutes.